So this morning we're looking at Acts chapter 17. So my topic for this morning is, can God use anyone? Can God use anyone to talk about him, to show people what God is like? The short answer to that question is yes, but I'm going to say a little bit more than that. So I hope you don't mind the person we are sitting next to, because you're going to talk to them again. If you could have a think about these questions for a few moments, and then if you're brave enough to share your answers with us, that would be lovely. So the questions are, what do you think about when you hear the word evangelism? And when was the last time that you talked to someone about your faith, about what you believe? What happened and what did it feel like when you were doing it? So if you could have a think about those questions. We'll carry on. And here's some things which I think of, or which I maybe used to think of when I thought about evangelism. And I still do to some extent. These things are still kind of true. It's something that's quite scary to do. It sort of pushes you out of your comfort zone. You maybe don't really want to do it. It's quite scary. What else? It's sometimes maybe quite awkward. We don't really talk about faith. We don't really talk about God very much outside of church. It's maybe something for someone else to do, someone like Billy Graham to do, someone like Paul, someone who's really super spiritual or really really extrovert and really likes talking to people, which is funny that I'm talking about it. Like Andy said, maybe it feels like you're preaching to people and maybe they don't want to hear it. Maybe it seems an insensitive thing to do, to say that you're right and, well, they're wrong because they aren't Christians. Maybe it's something that you feel it's pushy, you're kind of pushing your faith on them, and maybe they don't want it. Maybe intolerant. Oh, there was another one there. Bible bashing. You might feel that you're sort of Bible bashing someone if you evangelize to them. But this is kind of what I think about evangelism now. It's something that God does. It's God's idea that we go and tell people about Jesus. God does it through us. For some reason, he decided that instead of before Jesus ascended into heaven, he didn't print off lots of gospel tracts or gospel literature. He sent out a whole load of people. And so evangelism is something that God does through us when we share the gospel with people, when we share the good news of what Jesus has done. And the aim of it is that ultimately people come to know Jesus for themselves. So that's what I think evangelism is, and we'll explore a little bit about that and about how Paul does that this morning. So this is the University of Exeter. This is the centre of the campus, and this is a building called the Forum, which is quite new. The Queen opened it in 2012. And so this is where lots of people meet, and they have lunch, and they meet up with each other. They talk about all kinds of things. So before the EU referendum, there were people in there campaigning sort of for or against the European Union. And so it's somewhere where lots of people meet and they talk about stuff. And so as part of the Christian Union at Exeter, I've been doing a thing called Acts 17, which is based on what Paul does in the chapter we're looking at this morning. And so what we do is, so in what we read here, Paul goes into the marketplace in Athens, which is where everybody met, where lots of people met and talked to each other. And we've got something similar in the Forum at Exeter. And so we go there every weekday for about an hour around lunchtime, and we have a conversation with people about Jesus. And the way that we start those conversations is we usually have a whiteboard with a question on it, like, is God good? Why? Or questions like that. And we go up to people, we approach them with the whiteboard and ask them this question, and usually a look of horror sort of passes over their face. But people are actually surprisingly happy to talk, usually. And so we just use that to get a conversation started about what people think about kind of spiritual things, what they think about God. And it's really scary, and I'm going to talk a little bit about how I've kind of managed to do it, although it's really scary, how I've done that. So what I'm going to do is kind of virtually take you through doing Acts 17 at Exeter, kind of what it's like. And we're kind of going to do ready, steady, go. And then we're going to think about now what after we've kind of gone or thought about going, I suppose. So that's where we're going, so you know when we're getting towards the end. So, first of all, why on earth do we want to go and talk to people about Jesus? So this is what I sometimes think before I do Acts 17. I think, what on earth am I doing? This is such a ridiculous thing to do. No one's going to want to talk to us. And why don't we just... We do that at lunchtime, so I kind of think, why don't we just let them carry on eating their sandwiches in peace? They're overpriced because Exeter has just got a Pret a Manger on campus. It's the first one in Britain. So Exeter's got that, so people... we're basically interrupting people having their lunch to talk about Jesus, but people are surprisingly happy once we start doing that, or in most cases they are. Some people tell us to go away, and we do. So I sometimes think that, and I wonder if Paul felt the same on the way to Athens. So in the chapter that we just looked at, Paul is on his second missionary journey, and we saw in the quiz how far he travelled on that journey. His next stop after Athens was Corinth. And writing to the Corinthians, Paul says that I came to you in weakness and great fear and trembling. So if that's how Paul felt kind of moving on from Athens, that's probably similar to how he felt arriving in Athens as well. At this point, Paul is alone. He's waiting for Silas and Timothy to catch up with him. So Paul is on his own in Athens. He's probably afraid. He's probably, just like he describes there, arriving in Corinth. So he is afraid. He's not maybe terribly confident. He's never been to Athens probably before. He doesn't know anyone there. He doesn't have any friends there. But we read about him here telling people about Jesus. And so why does Paul do that? Why, when he's so afraid, why would Paul do that? So in verse 16, we see that Paul is greatly distressed to see that Athens is a city full of idols. Athens has sometimes been called the capital city of idols in the world. And at that time, there were lots of idols in Athens, and Paul sees them and is literally, he is provoked by what he sees. He is distressed. Why is he distressed? I think it's because he loves God, and idol worship that dishonors God, and that's people exchanging the true and living God for things that are made, or just the idea that there's no God at all. And so Paul is motivated by his love for God, but also his love for his neighbors. I would imagine he would see people who maybe in Athens aren't terribly happy. They're kind of going around sort of worshipping these idols, but I mean, they might be happy on the outside, but Paul is probably sensitive enough to see their real need for God there. So Paul is motivated by love for God and love for his neighbours, and it should kind of be the same for us. We should be motivated by our love for God. John writes that we've come to know God if we keep his commands, if we do what God says. And the last command that Jesus gives his disciples, which includes us if we know him ourselves, the last thing that Jesus says is, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus is saying that we are called to be witnesses to him, and he said that to the disciples. And like I said earlier, he's saying this to people. He's not gone and printed gospel tracts or invited them to an event. He sent people out. I'd just like to focus on a couple of things from that passage. So God empowers us to witness to him. We're not doing it ourselves. It's not about how good or bad a communicator we are, how good we are at talking to people or not, because God empowers us. Jesus says that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And one of the things that I've found doing at 17 at Exeter is that mostly I turn up, like I was saying earlier, turn up kind of thinking, what on earth am I doing? Why should I do this? But because I turn up, God uses that, and God shows me who to talk to by his Holy Spirit. He shows me what I should say, and sort of guides me through it. And so God calls us to do it, and God therefore empowers us to do that as well. And also, it's important to point out that Jesus calls us to be witnesses and not theologians or evangelists, which are obviously both great things as well. But there are some people who are called to be evangelists whose kind of job it is to share the good news about Jesus, and who are especially gifted to do that. And that's one of the gifts that Jesus gives the church, evangelists to preach the good news and to share that with people. But he also calls all of us to be witnesses, to a witness to what we have seen and what we've experienced of God, to what God has done in our own lives, and not what we don't know. So one of the things which maybe used to maybe put me off talking to people about Jesus, and maybe put some of you off as well, is the fear that our friends will maybe ask us questions that are about our faith that are difficult, like, what about all wars are caused by religion, or questions like that that are maybe really difficult to answer, or maybe questions that we don't know about the sort of historical reliability of the Bible. But what Jesus calls us to do is to witness to what we have seen and what we do know about God, and our own experience of that, and of how we became Christians and what that means for us. And so that's really liberating, knowing that we don't have to know all the answers, because in fact that gives us an opportunity to find out more about God ourselves as we think about their questions that they've asked us, and to actually keep the conversation going. We can say, when people ask us those questions, we can say, I don't know the answer, but I can find out for you. And so it's actually good when people ask us questions that we don't know the answer to, in some ways. And then the second thing is that we love our friends and our neighbours. If we're Christians, then we have found some really good news to share with people. We found the best news that there is, which is that God loves us and he wants a relationship with us. And so that's really good news, and so we should share it. And sharing that good news is the most loving thing that we can do. It's a bit like if you've found a cure for cancer, and then you just kept it to yourself and you didn't share it, because the gospel, the good news about what Jesus has done, is a cure for all the problems that people have, the problems that we have with our human hearts. And God has given us some good news to share about that, that we can have a relationship with God, which is, if we are Christians, we should think is the best thing ever. So we should share it. And so withholding that good news isn't very loving. We can think, I suppose, that we, by not sharing our faith, that we're being very tolerant of people with other worldviews, or that we're not preaching to them if they don't want to hear it. But not mentioning it at all isn't loving, for the reasons I just outlined. But like Andy was saying, neither is delivering this good news in a bad way. That's not good either, and that's not a loving thing to do. It's not sharing the good news badly is bad. And so the next thing we'll look at is kind of why and how we kind of should then share it. So when should we share this good news? So we believe that we should share it, I imagine. We maybe would like to, we'd quite like to share it, but perhaps we don't know how or when. So here Paul gives Paul an unexpected opportunity to share the gospel with people in Athens. I'm not sure that Paul expected to stop in Athens. He was kind of on the run from some people who didn't like him very much and were sort of chasing him from town to town. But Paul gets an opportunity to share the gospel because he is in Athens and he's there with kind of nothing else to do. So he preaches the gospel. So he takes that opportunity. And God gives us opportunities to share the gospel as well. The places that God puts us kind of during the week, whether that's at school or work or wherever, I believe are opportunities that God gives us to share the gospel with the people around us. One of the things that Paul talks about God in his little sermon is that God has set out where people live, and that God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. And so I think that God puts us in places so that people can reach out for God and can find him. That is why we know the people we know at school or at work, so that we can share this good news with them. And I maybe didn't think about things that way for a while, but so being at university and that being quite a concentrated period of time, you sort of realise slightly more maybe the opportunities that you have and that those opportunities won't last. And so there's a kind of urgency about it. But I believe that God gives us opportunities to share in our relationships. And those opportunities might come up directly in our relationships with them. They might ask us a question like, you're a Christian, what do you think about this? And then I suppose we might panic and kind of worry about how to answer and maybe pray. But we probably manage to say something about what we believe, and God can use that. Or it might be a sort of more indirect opportunity, like what did you do or what are you going to do at the weekend? And the question is really whether you mention about the sort of Christian things that you do at the weekend, like coming to church. So I was in work on Friday. I was doing some volunteering with the Shakespeare Birthplace Trust in Stratford-on-Avon, which is very nice. And the person I was working with asked me what I was doing at the weekend. And it was very easy to almost not mention that I'd actually be preaching on Sunday morning. So I kind of felt I needed to mention that. So I did. But I think that's a challenge as well, that we should take the opportunities that do come up when it's not us forcing it on people, that they're asking us, oh, what do you think? Or like, just what did you do at the weekend? And we can use those opportunities to share a little bit of our faith, which can lead on to more conversations in the future. So what we see in chapter 17 of Acts is Paul having an opportunity to share the gospel. We don't know how long he was in Athens for, but it probably wasn't very long. But he runs with that opportunity that God gave him. And the question is, do we do that? Do we take the opportunities that we have to share the gospel, even if it is scary? So the next question is maybe who? Who do we share this good news that we've got with? The short answer is everyone. One of the things when I've spoken about Acts 17 before and what we've done at Exeter, so people have come up to me afterwards and said, oh, that's really good. Kind of students are really open to the gospel and really sort of questioning everything. But my friends aren't. My friends sort of really aren't interested. They know what they believe and they're quite set in their ways. They're not going to change. And obviously, I don't have any other experience apart from kind of talking to students. But I think that God can, at whatever stage people are in their lives, God can bring people to him and sort of make them curious about you and about your faith. And I think that God can do that if we have some expectation that he will do that, because that's what God does. He God loves to bring people to know him, and that includes young people and old people and middle-aged people as well. So it's for everyone. So Paul, when he's in Athens, he creates opportunities to share the gospel with everybody. He talks to the religious, who we might expect to be interested in the gospel, in the synagogue, but he also talks to the people that we might not expect to be interested, the people who just happened to be in the marketplace with him. So they've got a religion, they've got their idols, they've kind of got what they believe, and they aren't really looking for Jesus. They don't know he's there, but Paul goes and talks to them anyway. He could have been, I suppose, tolerant, and he could have kind of left them just to kind of get on with worshipping their idols, but he doesn't do that. He loves them enough to go and tell them about Jesus, even if they maybe don't respond very very well to that. But he makes the effort. And Paul goes to where people were. He went to the synagogue where people were, and he went to the marketplace. And so something I just thought of is we can often say to people, this kind of thing, come to church with me, come and worship with us, and that's great. And if you're visiting us, then that's really good. But we can often say, come and worship with us, and if you come and see what we do, then we'll tell you about it, rather than doing what Paul does, which is he went to them. He went to the people in Athens. He didn't kind of just stay in his room and kind of put a little sign on the door saying, come and talk to me about Jesus if you really want to. He kind of went there and he talked to them. Even though he was probably really scared, he didn't know anyone. He had no kind of prior connection with anybody in Athens, but he just goes and kind of goes to where they are and where they are comfortable. He kind of goes on their turf. He doesn't wait for them to come to him. And so I think what that means for us is that we can share the gospel with people just right where we are, at school, at work, at home, because that's kind of what Paul does. He goes to where people are and where they're comfortable and talks about things they are comfortable about talking about. So we've thought about why we should do it, because Jesus says so and because God empowers us to do it. We've thought about when we should do it and about the opportunities that we have to share the gospel. And we've thought about who it's for, and it's for everybody. So now I'd like to think about how do we do it? How do we actually talk to people about Jesus? Well, we can pray for them, like we did just a little bit earlier. We can pray for people that we want to know, want to come to know Jesus. And that's really powerful. And if we actually pray, expecting that they might actually show an interest in Jesus, then God will honour that, God will use that. So who can you be praying for? And that's the first thing that we need to do, really. We need to, before we can talk to people about God, we need to talk to God about people. So we have to talk to God first about them, about how we can reach them, how we can love them, about their needs. And we also can pray for ourselves, for God to help us to reach the person that we're praying for, to guide us, to help us to know what to say, how to answer their questions, even if those questions are really difficult. So if you take nothing else away from this morning, I'd really want to encourage you to commit to praying for somebody who you know, who doesn't know Jesus yet, that they would actually show an interest in your faith, that maybe they would be the one who takes the initiative and asks you questions about your faith, about church, about what it's all about. And so do be praying for your friends. That's the first thing we can do. And that's the first thing when we go and do Acts 17 in the Forum at Exeter. Before we go and talk to anyone, we pray, and we pray for, well, for the people that we're going to meet, and we pray for ourselves. And because we pray, it works, and we and people actually want to have conversations with us. When we don't pray, if we didn't pray, then it really wouldn't go so well. So do pray. So maybe you've prayed, maybe an opportunity has come up, and then you think, oh, well, what do I say? What, like, how? Like, I can't talk to people. I don't know what to say. Like, I don't have a neat sort of gospel presentation or outline or a tract to give them. What do I say? Well, the first thing is Paul does several really important things before he talks to anybody about Jesus. He observes, he sees what the Athenians are like. He looks carefully around the city. We see that at the start of his speech. He's looked carefully to see what makes the people in Athens tick. What is it that they are interested in? What are their kind of gods that they're worshipping? So he observes. He questions. So Paul shows quite a lot of awareness of Athenian culture and what they believe. And he probably found that out by asking people questions. That's generally how we find things out. So he asked questions about what they believe, I imagine, and what do they think God is like. So he'd ask questions to find things out, to know about the people he's going to talk to. And so we should ask questions too. Sometimes when we ask questions, though, we don't listen. So the other thing that Paul does is he asks questions and he listens to the answers, and we know that he does because of the way that he talks to the people in Athens in his speech. It shows that he knows about the people in Athens and what their concerns and misconceptions are about God. He knows about it because he's asked questions and he's listened to the answers. And so when we do Act 17, obviously we start by asking people questions, and I found doing it mostly that it's almost more about asking questions and then listening to the answers and then asking more questions. And then most conversations involve me doing a lot more listening than speaking, and just kind of asking them questions about what they believe, why they believe that. And so really it's mostly about how well we listen, how well we ask people questions. And so that's really important before we talk to anyone. So now what should I say? So there's no kind of magic formula I can give you to kind of have a kind of sort of spiritual conversation with people. But here are some suggestions. So Paul starts where his audience are. In his speech in the Areopagus, Paul starts by telling the people of Athens what he's observed about them. He's seen that they're very religious, and he's seen this idol to an unknown god, and he uses that as a starting point for his conversation. And often we can kind of think that we're really quite different to people who aren't Christians, and we can maybe miss kind of points where we connect to them, sort of things that we things that they will understand, and starting from where they are, and to bring them to see where we are and what we know about God and about what we've experienced about what God is like. So Paul starts, he uses their terms, and Paul addresses their specific things that they have, sort of questions that they have about God, misconceptions that they have about him. So the audience that Paul is speaking to are Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. So these are people who know lots of stuff. So some of them are kind of practical atheists. They believe that God made the world and then he kind of isn't interested in them anymore. But Paul deals with that and says, no, God made the world and that he is interested in us and he wants a relationship with us. What else does Paul say? He says that God doesn't need anything from us. Now, the people in Athens, they would have kind of given things to their idols. They would have made these idols. They would have been quite expensive. And to worship these idols, it was quite a lot of effort and it was quite hard work. And we might think, well, none of my friends kind of bow down to idols or kind of do anything quite like that. But I think all the people we know, and maybe us as well, we do worship things like success or money or things like that, and those are things which are really hard work, but we can share with people that God gives. God doesn't kind of need anything from us, he gives us everything. So I don't have time to go through all of the kind of things where Paul answers kind of their specific questions about God, but that's a really helpful model for it shows that Paul's listened and he knows what these people what the questions that these people have, and he answers them. And Paul's speech here is different to when he speaks in the synagogue to Jews. Paul knows his audience, and he speaks differently to people who don't have a kind of Jewish background. And so there's not kind of one size kind of fits all. But having said that, Paul does focus on Jesus and the resurrection. Paul is speaking to these people who are really clever. They know lots of stuff. But his message is the same to the people in Athens as it is to all the people on the kind of that he speaks to on those kind of on that kind of 15, 16,000 mile journeys that he went on. His message is the same, and so is ours. He focuses on Jesus and the resurrection, which are the central things about our faith. So what now? So Paul has spoken to these people. He's kind of listened. He's stepped out of his comfort zone probably to talk to these people. He's observed them. He's asked questions. He's listened to the answers. And he's shared the gospel in a way that kind of answers their sort of misconceptions about God. Now what? So Paul gets three responses that we will probably get if we are kind of brave enough to talk to people about Jesus. The first one is that some of them sneered. Some of the people mocked Paul. They didn't want to hear anything else from him. They thought he was just that he didn't really know what he was on about. They didn't want to know. And I've met quite a lot of people like that doing Acts 17 at Exeter who just don't want to know. They don't want to even start having a conversation with us. And maybe some of our friends will be like that. But not all of the people in Athens were. Some of the people that Paul spoke to said, "We want to hear you again." They did what students are very good at doing. They procrastinated and put off. They put in some delaying tactics. So some people will want to hear us again. It's interesting actually to notice that Paul then leaves at this point. He doesn't kind of pursue that further. I think that might be because he realizes that he can't win an argument with them, because Paul realizes that it's not about us winning an argument with people to kind of introduce them to Jesus. It's about doing just that, introducing them to Jesus. But some of the people decided to become Christian. Some of the people did follow Paul in following Jesus, and some of the people that we talk to will do that as well. Now, I've been doing Acts 17 kind of about one day a week in Exeter for about 2 years, and I can't yet say that anyone I know, but I don't think anyone I've spoken to has yet become a Christian kind of because of what we've done. But that's all right, because it's God that does this, and it's God's idea that we should kind of go and talk to people. And so this is just a verse which points out that to some people, when we talk to them about Jesus, they will be really pleased to hear it. It'll be kind of like life to them. They'll be really pleased to hear about our faith. But some people won't, and that's all right. It's not something, mostly, if people don't want to kind of hear about Jesus, it's not because of anything kind of that you've done wrong. It's not anything personal. It's probably not that they don't like you. It's just that's what the gospel does. Some people want to respond to it and some people don't. And it's okay, because the results of our mission are up to God. This is Paul speaking again to the Corinthians, saying, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." And so what we see here is that it's a process. It doesn't necessarily happen all at once, and it's not necessarily us that gets to do all of the steps in it. We might get to plant a seed with a friend that we know. We might get to water a seed that's already been planted by somebody else. But it's God that makes it grow, and that means that we don't have to worry about the results and whether we've evangelized in exactly the right way to people or whether we've answered their questions completely, because it's God that gives the growth. So the results are up to God. But one thing we can do is we can pray that God will help the seeds that we plant and we water to grow. And so we can pray. And finally, so at the start I said we were doing ready, steady, go. And so here are some questions to think about. Are you ready. Are you, how concerned are you to share God's good news with your friends? Is it something that you care about? Do you want to share that with people? If you do, do you look forward to opportunities to share your faith or not? And if you don't, then you can pray that God will help you to look forward to them and to actually take them when they come up. Do you know that God will help you, that God will teach us what to say? And it's God's idea to use ordinary people, not just people like Billy Graham, but ordinary people like everyone sitting in this room. It's God's idea to use that to reach the people that we know. And so God will help us to do it. Are you open-minded about who might be interested in Jesus? Some of the people that I talk to doing Acts 17 at Exeter, when I go up to them with a whiteboard and ask them this question, like, if God exists, what do you think he's like? I don't expect them to kind of want to answer or want to have a conversation, but often those are the people who actually most want to talk and are actually sometimes really open about talking about Jesus. And finally, where can you go this week? Paul went. He went to Athens, and then when he got there, he went to where people were. So where can we go with God this week to share about him and about his love? And one last thing, what now? Well, if you want to kind of think about this a bit more, these are two books which I can really recommend that I found really helpful myself in thinking about evangelism, how does it work, why should we do it, and all those kind of questions are kind of answered by those books.